Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. On my channel, it will be Raw Generates podcast, but on Chad's channel, what's the name again?
The Supernatural Podcast.
Supernatural Podcast. The links for both will be in the description. They'll be on both of our channels. And we've got essentially an expansion and an expulsion on really what we touched on our previous episode, which we'll link below. And please refer to the other episodes we just did together. Covering both sides, like the first one was my side, and then the second one was Chad's, and how we sort of became acquainted with one another, and then really delving into this world of healing on multiple levels. And please watch those, and even go back to some of Chad's other videos, some of my other podcast episodes as well, because there's a lot that connects this net of healing. And really what we're going to delve into today is ultimately a piece of text that is, I think, in this day and age now, it's never been more critical to be understood clearly, because I've seen a few channels that have covered it and it hasn't been covered well. I've covered it personally on a live class that I did. We're going to get into a bit more of the nitty gritty, but also cover some of Chad's background in sort of the Christian Catholic world growing up. And ultimately, this all ties in to a piece of text that a lot of you may be aware of, but I'm sure majority of you won't be aware of. And it's called the Essene Gospel of Peace. And this is essentially tablets found that were translated from the Vatican vault that were just somehow conveniently left out of biblical texts. And ultimately, in roughly 34 pages, book one is essentially, in my opinion, everything that any human being needs to know in order to heal themselves. And I think there's reasons perhaps why it was left out, but now it's here, it's been translated into many languages, it's well understood in the raw food world, it's well understood in our world and our field, and we're really hoping we're going to reach people that already have deep faith to go and read this text and let it speak for itself. So perhaps without further ado, Chad, shall we commence with your upbringing, you know, Western Catholicism, Christianity, and sort of how you came to finding the Essene Gospel and what came up with you for that. So yeah, thanks for being here again, bro. I'm really excited for this. As I said before we got on camera, I've got my referral. This is the book. You can find it on Amazon. We'll have it in the link in the description, and it's not cheap. And yeah, please, I implore you all to get yourself a copy.
I love it. I'm super excited for this conversation. This is a topic that I'm super passionate about, so I think this is going to be a great one. And like you said, we're just kind of weaving in more threads to the bigger net of healing and our own personal evolution. And I think to get into this topic of religion and the scriptures, because I know this could be controversial for a lot of people, depending on your upbringing or your faith, your beliefs, I want to preface this just by saying that neither one of us are here to attack anybody's beliefs. We're not here to tear anybody down. We are here just to present our own experience and the knowledge that we've accumulated, and hopefully it will serve you in your journey. If you're coming across this, I'm sure that the timing is going to be perfect. And I do believe that all religion, all faith, is a beautiful path. Some of the most loving, giving, generous people that I know in my life are the people I've met in the church, in communities of faith. And so this is in no way a criticism, but I think at this time in humanity's journey, collectively, there are so many people who are looking to go to the next level, who are looking for some deeper truth. People are starting to see through the corruption that has happened on a global scale at the level of government, religion. And at the end of the day, we've been spiritually deprived as a human race for many thousands of years. And we're starting to break out of that, which can be scary. It can be uncertain, but our hope is that the information that we present, if you are at that point, will only serve to help you deepen your own faith and take your own evolution to a deeper level than maybe you even knew was possible. So to get into my own background, I grew up here in the States with a Christian upbringing. I grew up going to church, going to Sunday school, learning the teachings. And then in high school, actually, I was introduced to the Catholic faith. I had grown up more in a Protestant upbringing. If you're not familiar with the church, Catholicism tends to be more rigid, more dogmatic, a little bit more ritualistic and based in the sacraments. And so I attended a Catholic high school, not because my family was Catholic, but we thought it would be a better education than going to public school. And that was my first introduction to another wing of Christianity, which I found to be very restrictive. I have memories of going to Mass and these different things in high school, and it didn't sit right. I could tell that what we were learning and the things we were doing, it wasn't leading to true inner illumination. And I wasn't super aware spiritually at that time in my life, but I just knew that it didn't feel right. I could tell that people weren't any happier, any more connected. It felt like I was being smothered with rules and restrictions. And so that really pushed me away from my Christian faith for a few years. It really just turned me off, kind of got lost pursuing my outer goals in the world. And it wasn't until a few years later that I really started to find the scriptures in a different way. I started to pick up my Bible and read it. I was looking for any kind of light and encouragement in my life at that time. I had moved away from home. There were times of feeling alone, misunderstood. And that's what really pushed me to discover my faith at a deeper level. But this time, I kind of had the wisdom that going the route of doctrine and church institutions was not really the way for me. It was more about the individual relationship and the inner journey. And so with that wisdom, I developed a consistent practice of reading the Bible, and it started to change me. It started to soften me. I started to find the path again. But I think with the wisdom that I'd accumulated over my life, this time around, I was more open. And so when I started to come across these people saying that there are other gospel accounts, that there are texts that were not included in the doctrine of the church, there were things that were suppressed or left out, I was more open. I was in a place where I could actually receive that. One of the things I continue to be shocked about in organized religion is still this attitude that anything that is outside of what the church says is true is heresy. It's, you know, that you go to hell. God's gonna send you to hell for looking at these things because they're demonic or they're deceptive and they're not of God, not of the light. And to me, that's very primitive, outdated, tribalistic thinking that I think we as a humanity are really being asked to move beyond. It's rooted in fear. It's rooted in separation, conflict between different groups. And at the end of the day, I think that anything that's not rooted in love and unity really can't be of God, because God is love, and love unifies. It brings people together. It uplifts. And so this idea that we can't look at other teachings or go outside the doctrine of our religion, to me, is really crazy. I think as individuals, we need to be responsible enough to question what we've been told and to seek truth for ourselves and to see what our experience tells us is true, rather than looking outside of ourselves to someone else, somebody to give us a permission slip and tell us it's okay to think this or think that. And that's what I found in my journey, is the most profound breakthroughs came at an individual level. It came from the inner illumination and going out into the world, taking the teachings and just applying them and seeing what worked, what felt right, what brought me together and made me feel more connected with God or with other people. And I really think that this is where we're all going, is we're being asked to go within, seek truth for ourselves, and really connect to this higher power and the love that exists within all of us. And this is a part of that journey, is sometimes going outside of our belief systems. So religion, beautiful path, critical part of my journey. Some of the greatest people and community that I know. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely call myself a follower of Christ, but at the same time, I've found that I have to kind of distance myself from the church in terms of the institution. I say jokingly, but not that jokingly, that I have to distance myself from the church because I love Jesus so much.
I love that,
because,
man.
Because I think that the teachings of Jesus himself were distorted by this larger institution who was not in it to enlighten the people or bring true illumination. They were in it to establish a political institution in the Roman Empire. And anytime church and government come together, the church always ends up taking the form of the government, not the other way around. So I think what's really up to us is to discern that truth and to pursue what feels right. And for me, this is the greatest test, and it's something that I sense and feel when I read the Essene Gospel. And I'm sure you do too. It just rings true. Like, there is something in that is alive and speaking to me. And so that's kind of my background, but I would love to hear a little bit more of how this ties into your story. And maybe I think you could even give people a little bit more background as to where this text was found, some of these other gospel accounts of Jesus's life that were not included in the canon. And we can kind of dive into the Essene Gospel a little bit more as we go around and really take those teachings and help everybody to apply them in our own life for our own betterment.
Yeah, Chad, beautiful introduction, man. Like, even just writing down a few things there from your experience of both, and I'm sure there's people that feel there's a deeper sense of connection that is lost when they are stuck in essentially what is a behemoth of a big industry now. Like, the religion has almost become an industry, part of industry, and that it's so heavily intertwined with governments. But when you look at the individuals that involve these religions, as you said, they're beautiful people. I live at a community where there's followers of faith across different areas, whatever their God may be. And what I love so deeply about the Essene Gospel is what Jesus reiterates many times is to ultimately not follow a deity. Not that a deity is wrong, but what he ultimately encourages humans to do, the sick people that come to him, is to go within and then to go to nature. And he even says, when someone questions him on the texts of Moses, the commandments of Moses, and these other scriptures, that why would they not follow those? And he simply replied that they are words of death and of falsity, and words of man aren't true. What is true is already known within you. Go and fast, and fast alone, and go into nature, and you will find truth. And that's me paraphrasing, but ultimately that was it. And it's simply put in the Essene Gospel here, that part. And I will cover a few, but I also really want to just, in a simple fashion to begin with, break down the premise that Jesus was guiding the sick people toward, which is to every human being. And I feel, for someone that grew up not atheist, but my family was Catholic in the past. I never went to a Catholic school. I went to a Steiner school, which has a lot of spiritual influence and a lot of Christ influence. I'm an avid admirer of Rudolf Steiner, and talking about a Christ path versus an Ahriman, the path of Ahriman, or the path of Christ. Ahriman meaning like Luciferian forces, So materialism, yeah. self-indulgence, selfishness, acts of violence, acts of wrongdoing, whereas a Christ path, or what was known in the Old Testament, was just, you know, Christ wasn't even mentioned. It was a man of righteousness, a person of righteousness, someone that did good. And to me, as you said, there's nothing better and nothing as pure and good as doing what is right. And the reason why I feel the Sing Gospel has changed many people's lives, one of which he's quite well known, Dan McDonald, who used to be known as the Life Regenerator. He got recommended that book from a bookshop when he used to be a drug addict, and it completely changed his life there and then when he read it. And it's because it's hitting something, it's hitting a deeper chord within you. And that's why I've came up with a line myself that I thought of when I read this book, just came to me, was the words of truth will always be, even if there are no ears to hear it. Or eyes to read it, they will still remain. And those that will get it, it'll hit you like a wave, and it'll shatter whatever it is you have created. So I implore anyone listening with an open mind, not to change your religion, not to change your faith, but to be open to what some of these words from the Essene Gospel have brought upon for so many of us, that have connected us back ultimately with a divinity within ourselves. And I'm like you, Chad, I'm definitely a follower of Christ. I feel that very deeply, but I do not involve myself with the church, because I see that that's not where Jesus was. He was out there helping the sick, helping the maimed, helping those in need. He wasn't in four walls preaching to people. He was having discussion with people in the meadows and in the fields, and helping them that way. And I think a great way to just bring some light before I go into the introduction is, there's most people know the Our Father prayer, right? You know, it's very common in churches, but there's another one, and it's Our Mother. And Our Mother prayer, no one knows about. I don't know anyone that is a follower of Catholic or Christian or otherwise. Even those that don't even follow a religion often know the Our Father. And I would like to read both of which are here actually on page 41 of the Essene Gospel of Peace, book 1. And hear the difference of what it is that is being shared here by Jesus. And the our mother, not that one is more important than the other, but to me, I can see why they left this one out, because it's really hinting that nature is there to help you heal. It's pretty apparent, and it's not ambiguous. Nothing in this book is of weird ambiguity. Very simple, some old English, but it's been translated from essentially... there were tablets found in the Vatican vault, and in this archive, I believe, with more tablets that haven't been translated. And the person that translated this wasn't a raw foodist, he was just one of the few people that could translate, I believe it was Aramaic, some Hebrew text, and he just pretty much translated it for what it was and then published it. And now it's known, unfortunately, as pseudoscience, false, fake, biased. And of course, I think that is telling enough that there's something to it, because there's so much pushback. But without further ado, I just want to read the Our Father and then Our Mother, because this other side of the coin is being left out. And they go as follows. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now hear the difference in the changes with the earthly mother. Our mother, which art upon earth, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in us, as it is in thee. As thou sendest every day thy angels, send them to us also. Forgive us our sins, as we atone all our sins against thee. And lead us not into sickness, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the earth, the body, and the health. Amen. The reason why this is so profound is because the basic pillars that Jesus was showing the sick and maimed was these angels that is in our mother prayer here. And these are essentially the sunlight, angel of sunlight, angel of air, angel of water, angel of earth. And they're the main core ones that ring so true to me, because essentially that is saying, go into nature, get fresh air, get sunlight on your skin, and go bathe in the fresh waters, and that these things will help you heal. But they are also in conjunction with fasting and to forgo the things that have burdened us. And I feel that now the difference in our day and age is we sometimes have to be a little more cautious, because the diet of modern humans is not that of what people were doing in the times of Jesus. So we have to interpret some with some modern application, of course, but these principles ring so true even to this day, the same way you look during COVID, don't go out in the sun, don't go outside, pretty much don't get fresh air, don't get sun on your skin, don't go into nature. And anyone listening, I'll be very surprised if that sounds paradoxical to you. It sounds counterintuitive. Wait, I wouldn't want to go out and play outside. I wouldn't want to go and spend time in nature. We are from nature, essentially. And really what that prayer is showing you in a nutshell is that if we follow the laws of nature, we can ultimately heal ourselves from anything. And to have patience. And even Jesus goes further into that every day that you fast, and you will heal a year of abuse to your body. There is also a lot of ambiguity when it comes to what Satan means, or Beelzebub, which is known as in the same Gospel of Peace, which is referred to as a serpent, as a parasite, and how he was getting parasites out of people. And what is like the most common thing we see in a lot of the detox world and coaching is people have parasites coming out of them left, right, and center, because these parasites dwell with the decaying flesh of dead animals. And I just listened to something from a segment of Rudolf Steiner where he talked about worms not being of plant and not being of animal origin. They're of a completely different origin, spiritually speaking, that they are an entity that is that of a much darker nature. I know Dr. Yarki has spoken of this. Even the term parasite, if you refer to a human being as being a parasite, it's quite the insult. And that they are draining something from you. And that again pulls to me, it calls a deeper part of me of some deep truth, and the connection between what we eat and then what is happening inside our body. And I actually recently heard from a friend who's a big researcher of Rudolf Steiner's work. I was telling him about this Essene Gospel of Peace, and he use the example of the Garden of Eden. And what was it that caused chaos in the Garden of Eden? There was a snake. And you could almost use the symbol of the Garden of Eden to that of your stomach. You could use it as a symbol to that of the digestive tract. And that if there's something that is not harmonious and not within the laws of nature, in the laws of what the earthly mother is asking of you to do, then essentially chaos will reign. And that the kingdom that you can build is so without, so within, as above, so below, on every level. And it's not about, you know, that you can go and pray for one thing and then do the other. That it is a devotion of your life to do what your mother ultimately is wanting of you, is asking of you, that you will be supported if you follow what nature is asking of you to do. And this is where, in a nutshell, just to finalize this description here loosely, is that nature is not an idea. It is a reality. But every other idea that we see come from someone's doctrine, some scripture, just the same way Jesus said that these are words of death, these aren't true, is these are ideas. And really what he was saying is, don't worry about those ideas. When you spend time alone and fast and let your body heal under the angels of the earthly mother, you will not see disease. That are the words. You will not see disease. You will not see dis-ease within yourself if you go and do that. And you will find truth. And he wasn't telling them the truth. He was telling them what they needed to do in order to feel that and experience that. And it leads back to that thing we've discussed before, Chad, which is only those who go where few have gone will see what few have seen. That is leading you once again back to that world of embracing the immense challenge, but the beauty of what it takes when you go back to nature.
Yeah, so much there. And I really love how you read the Our Mother and the Our Father. It really helps you see how imbalanced our society has become, how much we have veered toward the masculine, and the feminine has really been suppressed. And we can go into that a little bit about duality and the masculine feminine later. But it really is a return to balance and harmony and nature, as you said, which always is and always has been in balance. And just to backtrack a little bit, I do want to make it clear that I think there's a belief when you go into some of these deeper teachings that you need to give up your religion or give up the outer teachings. But I think it's not so much about making one camp right and others wrong. It's about going deeper than the surface level teachings. Every religion, if you look at it, there is a set of outer teachings and a set of inner teachings. The outer teachings, it's a lot of rules, regulations, this is how you should live. But every religion also has an inner set of teachings, and this is where we get into mysticism. It is the inner union with this higher divine power, and this really is the core of every spiritual teaching, regardless of what time period, what region. This is the core, and the outer religions, the outer teachings are really put in place to give people the best bang for your buck teaching, like forgive other people, be of service, treat other people how you want to be treated. And I think they have served us so well for so long, but there are so many students who are coming around to the inner teachings, people like Rudolf Steiner, and starting to really wake up to maybe the outer doctrine was sort of an oversimplification. Maybe the stories, myth, parable were actually a way of portraying something much deeper than its literal surface level words. I think the Buddha has a quote. It goes something like, "My teachings are like a raft to get to the other side of the river. Unfortunately, people mistake my words for the other side." And it's like,
that's brilliant.
That's so true, it's man. Like, I do believe that we're all meant to graduate beyond the outer teachings and arrive at that inner union, that what we've been doing for thousands of years, it's just really made us more divided. And so this is where teachings like the Essene Gospel are really coming from. They're very deep. The words of Christ almost sound like those of Buddha. And so it makes sense that there have been people who wanted this suppressed. But we've really discovered in the past 100 years or so these collections of texts that are pointing to this inner truth. We found the Dead Sea Scrolls in the Qumran Desert. These were the collections of the mystical Jewish texts, the inner teachings. We found the Nag Hammadi Library near Alexandria, Egypt. These were the early Christian texts, the Gnostics, the ones with the inner knowledge and the Christian community. And it just shows us that there was such a diversity of thought, so many ways of thinking and seeing things. It wasn't this cut and dry thing, that people were really having open debates and trying to figure out what is the nature of Christ, what does his life mean, what is the nature of spirituality. So this is, I think, why these texts are so important and why they've come to light at this time. It clearly means that we as a humanity are really ready for them to resurface again and to find that inner union within ourselves. Jesus, his teachings were always that God is within, the kingdom of heaven is within, that he would call people out for adhering to the law, for following the outer teachings. It was always about the inner union with the divine, the masculine meeting the feminine, coming back into balance, coming into harmony with the universe, and kind of what you said, when we are living in harmony and balance, it's like life won't have to give us that feedback in the form of pain. You're kind of in flow with all that is. You're in harmony with other people. You're experiencing connection. It feels like your life is being guided by something greater than itself, a divine force, a divine orchestration that's happening. And there's no need to force. There's no need to go into the mind to overthink. It's all kind of guided by this greater force. It feels less like you are forcing your way through life and more like life is moving through you, that you are always present, always here, always now, and that everything you need, everything you want is kind of drawn to you, which is what I think we're all really after, is this experience of our own bigness, our own divinity. And these texts like the Essene Gospel are an amazing doorway into the experience of who you really are. And so I think now would be a great time to really dive into the teachings, now that people kind of have a background of where we're coming from and where these texts were found. I know the Essene Gospel, it's said that it was found in the secret archives of the Vatican. I think you touched upon that earlier, but yeah, let's dive into it.
Cool.
And really see where we go and let that inner light, that inner truth lead the way.
Yeah. And I think just to preface as well that these teachings, they're not exclusive. So people often have, you know, my religion's better than your religion. And you look at the common connection and thread of being a human being is the desire to help one another. And you see the way that right now with what's been going on the planet, that there is this very much so, it looks like there's a divide and conquer sort of strategy happening where they're almost gotten humans to play against one another because of their religion, their sex, whatever. And when you read something like the Essene Gospel of Peace, it's beyond that. It's not about that anymore. Yeah. It's about the commonality that we are from nature, that we are birthed ultimately from the one mother is Mother Earth, is really what is introduced in the Essene Gospel of Peace, that no mother is greater than the mother of the earthly mother. There is no greater father than the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father is really described as a teacher in sleep. And it's interesting when you, through dreams and through where you go, isn't it strange that when you sleep, you wake up and you almost felt like you just went to sleep and yet it's been 8 to 10 hours. The concept of time is somewhere else. And even now in science, they've shown that time is not always the same. It can be measured differently based on you already. If you're doing something fun, time just flies by. Your concept of that is not some linear, completely even thing, even though it may from other perceptions be that way. And I think that's what you said at the beginning, Chad, about this erasing of the feminine. And it sort of leads me back to a beautiful text, the Tao Te Ching, by Lao Tzu. And that being, you know, you won't find bees in a place where there aren't flowers and vice versa. You won't find in chemistry acid without base. You won't find in nature masculine without feminine. We have to have in physical reality these two forces. And that's that classic yin and yang symbol, right? You can see it with koi fish. Is a beautiful representation of that too. And really, it makes me wonder, and perhaps it'll make the listeners wonder too, that why is it that the earthly mother prayer is not known, is not widely known, is not discussed in really any way? That talking about the angels of the earthly mother as helpers, essentially beings or spirits or energies, whatever you want to call it, here from nature, from the earthly mother to help you heal. And a huge connection and something that cannot be overlooked is showing that to cook our food by fire is to destroy what the earthly mother has created. It's almost like to go and get a breast milk from your mother, whether it be of a cow, a sheep, and then to go, well, that's not right. We need to cook it first. Now do this. Now I will consume it. And we see in nature that the mother will give the milk, produces the milk for the child. And it is exactly that in the Essene Gospel, shown that the earthly mother has given her blood in the form of rivers, her tears in the form of rain, her her body as the earth itself, and that it is reiterated time and time again that your bowels, your ears, your nose, your eyes are that of the earthly mother. And if you go and defile it by doing what you want, living a raucous lifestyle, sleeping around with people, eating foods that aren't made for you, of meat, of processing, you are essentially you're essentially defiling the pure body that the earthly mother has created. But it is re-emphasized that she will not turn her back on you, that she will always be there, the same way you might be a troublesome child and you go and go into drugs and drug dealing and you go to prison or whatever and you go down all these things, but your mother will always love you. And then you eventually one day something happens, I'm going to change my life, and then your mom's there for you. And what is a beautiful thing as well is in cases where maybe family has turned their back on you, where they've given up on you, the Essene Gospel, which I think is going to be really hit deep for a lot of people that perhaps have had people who have betrayed them, who have left them, such as family members, mothers, brothers, is that there is no greater mother than the earthly mother. There is no greater father than the heavenly father. So when you have that connection with the earthly mother and the heavenly father, you ultimately have nothing to lose, because it is the greatest love, really, is what is described. This is the bedrock, if you will, the underlying foundation of all love that comes through your mother, that comes through brothers, sisters, and also connecting the animals of that as well, that they aren't overlooked as being something that we have to have power over and abuse. And that's something I think very commonly now that has been misconstrued, specifically from my research from Constantine, the ruler of Rome during the time of Jesus, before the New Testament was made. And that was that, this is at least according to the books by Dr. Bernard Jensen. Dr. Raymond Bernard, sorry. And was that Constantine did not like what the Essenes were doing. So he pretty much decided to recreate a new form of Christianity that suited his reckless life of multiple wives, drinking, living slothfully, eating red meat and animals, and just abusing the privilege of being a human being. And it really is a privilege that we have a short time to be alive, and that that there are ways to live that are outside of ideas, that are outside of opinions. You know, it's not an opinion when you go outside that all these animals are living simplistically, that they are doing things in a manner that no human really matches in our day and age. And even back then, it clearly was still a problem, where we had pulls of the physical pull, whether it be sexually, food, drinking. And that sort of leads me to, again, back to just the premise of living food, of not cooking your food, that this is, because it's even stated that if you don't follow but one of these laws, you will not find true health. You will find some disease in some way. And that also not only includes not cooking your food, but not staying up gaming at nighttime until the early hours of the morning, not doing something of purpose during the day. It is described in the Essene Gospel of like sowing the land, being in nature, at nighttime being at one with the earthly father in sleep, and you will learn from the earthly father through your sleep. Isn't it a common expression in this day and age, if you're not sure on something, sleep on it? To go to sleep and you somehow have digested it in a different way. You wake up with a whole new perception. We have no intellectual comprehension of really what is going on there. But it rings true again that there's something profound here that we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that these two of being of purpose during the day, being calm and getting rested sleep at nighttime are so foundational. And we must adhere to all of them. You know, you could be someone that is eating the raw food, that is doing some fasting, but then you've got this insane addiction to some vice, and you always feel torn. And the beautiful thing is that nature is helping you heal. It's not like you are alone, this lonely wanderer, aimless. That nature will show you the way. And this example from the Essene Gospel brings me back to someone that a lot of people know, and that is Wim Hof. And I never knew of the Essene Gospel at this point, but a lot of people that are familiar with him will know that his wife committed suicide out of nowhere, and a perfectly happy marriage to his knowledge, and nothing was wrong. And of course, they had a beautiful marriage, but within her, she clearly had something that was troubling her, where she ended her life. And he went into nature, and he said the only thing that healed my wounds was being in nature. It was the only thing that could really get him to get over that, you know, one day waking up and your wife's dead with nothing. Like, that would have been a hard thing to process, and nature took away his pain. And it is reemphasized in the Essene Gospel, and I knew about that story well before the Essene Gospel. But again, it shows the meandering stream of what I call of knowledge or awareness or knowing that is leading us and leading us to a common understanding and a deeper knowing that is beyond intellectualism. And that is what I hope the listeners get when they read the Essene Gospel of Peace, is that they can find these connections elsewhere that affirm what they're already experiencing, because it will tap, if you're ready to hear certain parts, it will tap parts within you that will shatter certain things and rebuild something new and beautiful to come again. And I can go into more, but I think, Chad, I'll hand it over to you for a bit, mate. But I just wanted to say that part there about those connections that we can find when it comes to that all other species are eating raw food, that to cook food by fire is to destroy it, is to create death, and that to consume food heated by the angel of sunlight, to eat a herb-bearing seed, let that be your food. Doesn't say herb-bearing seed and the corpses of animals. It doesn't say herb-bearing seed and cook and denature food and do whatever you want. It doesn't say to sow the land and to be at one in nature and be kind to one another and also drink alcohol and sleep with whoever you want. None of that is added there, and yet we look in modern religion, we have all these other things added. I can be a Christian and I drink as much as I want, I eat whatever I want, I go to McDonald's, but I go to church on Sunday. You know, I think when we really pull back and look at what we have as a structure in modern society, that we can see through the cracks of that to the purity of what was really being shared. And as you said, Chad, when you read the Bible, you heard that and you saw that and you were like, this doesn't really reflect what I'm seeing. And I know there'll be a lot of people that are of faith that will feel the same way.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big issues that I had with the modern doctrine, that your salvation is dependent only on an outer profession of your faith. It's the words you say and not the actions that you take. And that, I think, is kind of at the core of what didn't sit right. It's like, all that matters is that I say I believe, but I can go and live however I want, and still I get this get out of jail free card. And there was a big disconnection there. Like, how could that be? It made faith seem so superficial, I think. Mm-hmm. And if we go back to the core teachings of Jesus, this was not a tenet of what he taught, that you could just speak your way to heaven, say the right words, and be let in the golden gates. Jesus was all about living your life from a place of connection with God. It wasn't, you know, say the right thing, say you believe in me. It was follow me, be like me, live like I live, follow the natural law as I do. He always emphasized it's more about your actions, because actions are kind of the true measure of your beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so there's even a verse where he says straight up to people, he said, on the last day, you will say to me, well, Lord, Lord, look at all these things we did in your name. Look at how we professed you. Look at all these miracles in the name of our Lord. And he says, no, I will say to you, you never knew me. Because when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was in prison, you did not visit me. In other words, it's not what you say. It's not about calling him Lord. It's about, do you live it? Do you see the Christ in all beings? Are you in touch with the Christ consciousness within yourself? Do you know yourself as one with God, as a divine being? So I think that's a really important distinction, because exactly like you were saying, there are natural laws that govern our universe, and we will experience the effects of our choices. Our lives are kind of the sum total of our choices and our decisions to live in alignment with that law. Some traditions will call that karma, which is really not a punishment or a retribution. It's simply this source of feedback that we get from the universe itself that's trying to push us towards something greater. And I love the analogy of nature being this nourishing mother, because I think that's something else we've lost in religion, is we've veered so far towards the masculine. There's this idea that God is a punishing man who sits up in the sky, right? And we've just lost touch with the feminine, not only in nature, but within ourselves. So for people to have that breakthrough of, oh, wow, there's this nourishing force all around me, that's life-changing. And that is true mercy, I think, because just like you touched upon, nature's always there. It embraces you with open arms. There's no wrong you can do. There's nothing you can't come back from. There's nothing you can't heal. All you need to do is really embrace what's always been there and start to live again in alignment with who you know yourself to be. So I really think that that's an expression of unconditional love that is open for all of us. Even the human body itself is like, the body, it just loves us unconditionally. Its only job is to be as resilient as possible, to keep us here on this planet, to keep us alive. And when we treat it well, when we live in alignment with nature, the body in turn gives us vibrant health. But as soon as we start to veer from that, that's when the body will start to speak to us in the form of symptoms and disease, which is, and it's really just trying to communicate to us that we're out of alignment. There's somebody who's kind of lesser known in the raw food community is Richard Anderson, but I'm a huge fan of his work. And one of his quotes from his book, he says, disease is not acquired. Disease is always earned. That disease is the natural result of an unnatural way of living. And I know that can be triggering. It's tempting to want to be a victim to our condition. But to me, it's like, wow, is there anything, could anything be more empowering than that? Than realizing that my disease is my fault. It's the result of my choices and my choices alone. Because if I created disease, I can also create wellness. If I created that in my life, I could uncreate it just as easily. And I think that's the experience that you and I and so many others have had, is that accountability and saying, I don't have to do anything extraordinary to heal. The body heals itself. Nature assists in that. And that force is always here for me should I choose to return to it. And I think one of the most powerful ways to do that is through fasting. And The Essene Gospel talks about it. Even in more traditional religion, it's talked about how these great figures, they fasted for 40 days and they reached this exalted state. So I would love to hear your take on the power of fasting, sort of what Jesus teaches in the Essene Gospel. And even when it comes to, you talked about Steiner and how he mentions the Aramaic forces, which are really, I think they've been misinterpreted over the years, taken literally, like Satan is this guy with big horns who's out to get God. But exactly what I touched upon earlier, it's really, no, the opposing force of duality. It's things like materialism and service to self and control and manipulation of others that are really these darker energies that tend to latch onto us. So maybe go into sort of what Jesus expounds in the Essene Gospel and how it relates to these darker forces and temptations that we're actually letting go of that are beyond the actual physical benefits and the food aspect.
Well, I think as well, some, just to marry up something that you, to something you just said before, was what you were talking about is ultimately Jesus's expression of you reap what you sow. So if we have a garden and we're going to sow seeds of misery, we're going to sow seeds of poor quality, and you're going to neglect it, you're going to abuse it, put sprays, whatever it is you're going to do, run over it with a tractor, whatever it may be, you're going to reap what you sow, and it's probably not going to be a happy crop. And this is where, again, even in Buddhism, we have to start from the seed. We have to start from below the surface, meaning within. We have to start here so that we can branch out and bear fruits for all to come and enjoy the bountiful harvest of what nature wants to provide. And that's it's an analogy, but it's so true because we see it present in the way that we as humans are. And as you were so eloquently describing there, Chad, I was going through different sections to really expound upon these laws that you just said. It's one of them being fasting, one of them being the cooking of food, the killing of animals. I'll cover all of those now. And I just wanted to preface again that Jesus does reiterate that law is in nature, that these laws, that we have to follow them all, and we'll show some of them, the cooking of food, the eating of animals, the living recklessly, the fasting, and what this really means to fast, to go without. An expression I've heard before, not from Jesus, I'm not sure from whom, but if we go with go without to go within, I believe is it. I may be confused. Go without or go within. Yeah, and we have to. So
go within or go without, maybe.
Go within or go without. That is the one. That is it. Go within or go without, because you can't, just like with the seed analogy, if the seed below the surface of the soil is inadequate and weak or ungrounded, and you're not going to, again, you reap what you sow. So this is where we have to look at everything. And that's why in the Essene Gospel, it's not just do one thing and then do whatever you want over here. It is a full devotion to how nature wants you to be. And people might think, oh, wait, you're telling me that I may have to go and do this and whatever. And essentially, yes, essentially no other species is doing that. And I think that's a challenge, karmic challenge potentially of humans, that we have been given the gift of contemplation and thought and creativity at levels that the natural animals don't have. And that is why, if you are someone that follows Buddhism in karma, is that it's almost like the final boss, if you will. Interesting, in video games, there's always like the final boss, some sort of trial and tribulation that you have to go through that is a final challenge. But really, things become less of a challenge when you let go. And I've heard that expression, let go and let God, which is a powerful one to me, in that when you follow this, but that all will be shown to you. And so, without further ado, I would like to read literally from the Essene Gospel of Peace, different sections. And the first one, I'm yet to find it on the fasting. I know I've got it here, but I would like to start with the, here it is on fasting. It's about the days in which you fast. So Jesus taught that if you're 30 years of age and you have eaten cooked food and a lot of alcohol and drugs and whatever else to your body, that you will need to fast, meaning water fast, for the as many days as the age that you are, and that you will experience what you've done to your body during that time. It won't be a smooth road. You'll have pain. You will have misery. You'll have everything that you have done, because it's the laws of nature happening in front of you. You reap what you sow. What have you sown in your physical body? Oh, the past 30 years have been abuse, have been neglect, maybe from a place of ignorance. But it is very forgiving to hear that even though a lifetime of wrongdoing can ultimately, at least according to the Essene Gospel of Peace, be undone by fasting.
Let me ask you, what are your thoughts on that? Can you break that up in your experience? Mm-hmm. And how much can you break it up? Because, you know, for a 40-year-old, that's not really, I would say, attainable for most people in our modern world.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your thoughts there?
Well, something that I do with my clients personally now is I rarely recommend water fasting because of the day and age we live in. I would rather go to juice fasting. Mm. And it is, of course, encouraged by Jesus in the Essene Gospel of Peace to consume fruits and living food. And I think we got to, again, look at the times that was in. And a lot of these people were peasants, poor farmers, no homes. When you research the Essene communities, they were often orphans of life, essentially, most of which men and children, and that they were seeking refuge. And so if you're a working mom, if you're a hardworking dad, I coach clients where they are on juice fasts, and I personally experienced this by doing a 3-week, 21-day juice fast before, is you can still clear what is known as the abominations of Satan in the Essene Gospel of Peace. You can clear Beelzebub, parasites, out of your colon by doing juice fasting. So I think we can apply that to the modern age and realize that I would rather show someone, hey, let's follow the laws of nature and not get fixated on, okay, I'm 50 years old, I got to do a 50-day water fast. By no means. I would rather see you start adhering to these laws as best you can. And the first one, really just going to raw foods, going to the foods that taste beautiful from nature as nature has prepared them, the fruits, the herbs. These things are naturally so desirable. And I've had countless clients say to me, wow, I didn't realize that I could do that. And as a kid, I always loved those things. I always gravitated towards those things, but I was educated differently. I was educated to not like those things, to think that they're bad for me, or to think that Coca-Cola is the same as an apple, for example. And so I'm glad you say that, Chad, because though that is in here, we got to look at the overarching picture of just following the laws without getting too obsessive over something like fasting, because I think it can be very dangerous in the day and age where when Jesus was around, there was no pharmaceutical use. There wasn't obesity to the same extent. So I'm glad you intercepted there, man, because I heavily agree. And out of all the teachings from Jesus, the one that I think would be the most dangerous would be to go and water fast for that amount of time. For example, Dan McDonald, he's pretty well known. He did a 41-day water fast that he prepared for over a 20 or so year period, because he knew that he's a follower of the Essene Gospel of Peace. He reads it, I think, every month or every day to some degree. And he's the one who read that book that showed him the way to living food into nature. But he knew, he had the intuition, and that's, again, what this book can help activate in you, is a deeper knowing of, hey, yeah, that's true, but where's humanity now? Hey, that's true, but maybe I can't go exclusively to this. Maybe what Arnold Ehret spoke about of the mucusless diet healing system for some people may need some simple steamed vegetables, things that are still toxic but less toxic than what you're currently doing, as a way of getting yourself on the journey of healing, opposed to just, I'm going to get from this side to the next in as quickly as time as possible, when that could be futile. But there's certain ones that are beyond danger to yourself, such as the eating of animals. You know, this isn't about fasting, about forgoing things and sitting by yourself in nature for days on end. But even by spending time in nature, as we've discussed with Wim Hof, is incredibly healing. The power is beyond intellectual comprehension. There's something else going on there that connects us, that may make us weep, shed tears, feel deep emotions, laugh, that we have to experience it to know it. So what I would like to read next is the part on the killing of animals, and where Jesus says when it's necessary to do so. But I think this is a big thing. People say, I need to kill animals. Well, it's a necessity for me. I have to. I'm a body type that must eat this. So I'll just let the words of Jesus speak for themselves here without my opinion. And Jesus answered, it was said to them of old time, all beasts that move upon the earth, all the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air are given into thy power. I tell you truly, of all creatures living upon the earth, God created only man after his image. Wherefore, beasts are for man, and not for man for beasts. You do not, therefore, transgress the law if you kill the wild beast to save your brother's life. Meaning, if an animal was attacking your brother, that would be justified. And I think every species has that ability, right? But I shall continue. For I tell you truly, man is more than the beast. But he who kills the beast without a cause, though the beast attack him not, through lust for slaughter, or for its flesh, or for its hide, or yet for its tusks, evil is the deed which he does, for he is turned into a wild beast himself. Wherefore is his end also as the end of the wild beasts. Mm-hmm. Pretty much saying that if you go and do it for food, to get the skin, to hunt, that you have essentially killed a part of yourself. Like, the beast is dead, but so is you. That we ask people in this day and age, would you go and kill that animal yourself? Oh no, I couldn't. I couldn't fathom it. I couldn't fathom it. And this continues on to the next part of the cooking of food, which comes back into this whole, you know, we live in a day and age now where there's a lot of the carnivore movement and a lot of cooked food, cooked meat. And this one here is, I really feel what stuck out to me the deepest, as well as just the moral side of things of the killing of animals for personal gain. Kill neither men nor beasts, nor yet the food which goes into your mouth. For I tell you, to eat living food, the same will quicken you. But if you kill your food, the dead food will kill you also. For life comes only from life, and from death comes always death. For everything which kills your foods kills your bodies also, and everything which kills your bodies kills your souls also. And your bodies become what your foods are, even as your spirits likewise become what your thoughts are. Therefore, eat not anything which fire or frost, meaning frozen, or water has destroyed. For burnt, frozen, and rotted foods, rotted meaning cultured or fermented, will burn, freeze, and rot your body also. Be not like the foolish husband who sowed in his ground cooked and frozen and rotted seeds. And then the autumn came, and his fields bore nothing, and great was his distress. But be like that husband who sowed in his field living seed, and whose field bore living ears of wheat, pain, a hundredfold of the seed which he planted. For I tell you truly, live only by the fire of life, and prepare not your food with the fire of death, which kills your foods, your bodies, and your souls also. I didn't know that part was going to connect there, but it just connected back to the reap what you sow thing about the field. And again, it's pretty simply written. There's some strange old English, but it's
very basic. It makes sense. It's kind of common sense when you read it. It's like, oh yeah, that should be obvious if we really go to our direct experience of life.
Mm-hmm. Because you can apply this. It's like in the Greeks, when they created logic, one of the laws of logic is double standard. So when you accept something in one category, you must accept it in another. And when you look at this, when it comes to living food, the example of a seed is so true. If you radiate a seed, it's not going to sprout. If you have a burnt, cooked seed, life can't come from that anymore, because life only comes from life. Death comes from death. These are proverbs of simplicity that maybe modern man struggles with to some degree. Of course, I feel that way. But when you see it in the application of reality of life, it rings true every time. It rings true every time. And another law is that of eating no more than a few things at a time. So we live in a world now where, you know, complexity and eating all these other things, people may overlook them, but really it's, you look at other species, they pretty much only eat one thing at a time, and they don't have a plate, they don't have an assortment of things together. And talking about the how essentially this will slow down and clog up your body. And this reflects in even practical client work, where if someone has a tumor or is in a wheelchair, and we'll suggest a mono grape diet, for example, or in extreme cases where one form of frequency comes in, and that your body ultimately wants that simplicity. So maybe before I go on to that, even Chad, we can discuss that aspect of the simplicity again, of even the simplicity of thought, the simplicity of the fuel you put in your car, the food you put into your body, in relation to the Essene gospel.
Yeah, and I think anybody, again, coming back to our experience, anybody who goes on to a raw, living, fruit-based diet for any period of time comes to pretty quickly, just through their own wisdom, that simplicity trumps all. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't really need any book or anyone to tell you about the power of monofruiting. It's, you just feel better when you're putting one thing into the body. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's also a part in the Essene gospel where Jesus talks about how we overconsume. And I think that really applies to us in the modern day too, where we're stuck in this era of consumerism and temporary pleasures, and we're always on the chase of that new high. So he does talk about that, right? That's the Essene gospel.
Did you want me to read it?
Yeah, I
researched the there's an old measuring system called Mina, MINA, and I forgot what it equated to, but he uses that as a measurement, and it's let the weight of your daily food be not less than a mina, but mark that it go not beyond two, so no more than two mina, and we can convert that of what that measurement is now. Then will the angels of God serve you always, and you will never fall into the bondage of Satan and of his diseases. Trouble not the work of the angels in your body by eating often, for I tell you truly, he who eats more than twice in the day does in him the work of Satan, and the angels of God leave his body, and soon Satan will take possession. Let's just quickly just pause there and translate the word Satan with perhaps stagnation, perhaps with parasites, perhaps with things that aren't serving you, opposed to thinking of some dude with horns. We gotta look at what this meant at that time, because I don't want people to misinterpret that for that manner.
Great point.
Eat only when the sun is highest in the heavens, and again when it is set, essentially to fast in the morning there. And you will never see disease, for such finds favor in the eyes of the Lord. And if you will that the angels of God rejoice in your body, and that Satan shun you after, then sit but once in the day at the table of God, and then your days will be long upon the earth, for this is pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Eat only when the table of God is served before you, and eat always that which you find upon the table of God. For I tell you truly, God knows well what your body needs and when it needs it. And essentially, that is essentially saying, eat when you need to eat, not when you want to eat. Because we so often, I need this now. Or is it that you have a hunger for something else? Is there something emotionally? There's even a part on do not eat when angry or sad. Wherefore, put nothing upon the altar of the Lord when your spirit is vexed, neither think upon anyone with anger in the temple of God. Pretty much to never have animosity towards anyone, and enter only into the Lord's sanctuary when you feel in yourselves the call of his angels, for all that you eat in sorrow or in anger or without desire becomes a poison in your body, for the breath of Satan defiles all these. Place with joy your offerings upon the altar of your body, and let all evil thoughts depart from you when you receive into your body the power of God from his table. And never sit at the table of God before he call you by the angel of appetite. That's another angel. Do not eat when you're not hungry. When the angel of appetite comes, then it is okay to eat, and to really eat at midday and in the evening, twice a day. And it's funny now, you see these people doing these one meal a day things. They'll start eating around noon and they'll stop eating around 4 p.m. It's interesting that these are applying themselves in other areas where people would have no comprehension or knowledge of the Essene gospel. And yet here it is written there, directly matching these longevity people on YouTube, for example.
Right. And I think the one about do not eat when you're angry or upset is so interesting, because what he's really telling us is there is a connection between the food we eat and the emotional state that we're eating it in.
Yeah.
It's almost like he had knowledge of how that energy, how the frequency of different emotions impacts what we're taking into our body. And in my experience, when I've done deep cleanses and I'm eliminating this crazy stuff that's built up in my body and my intestines and my colon for decades and decades, this thick rubbery plaque, I've done several cleanses that were formulated by Richard Anderson, who I talked about earlier. And one of the things that he sees a lot, and I've experienced as well, is that when you're eliminating this stuff right before it comes out, that emotion will resurface.
Oh man, glad you said that. Come on.
And you will literally relive that guilt, that shame, all the emotional states that we try to suppress with food. What that we learn to do really early is if I'm feeling uncomfortable and I don't want to feel this emotion, I eat, because that stimulus suppresses the emotion. But if I eat when I'm in a state of anger or fear, or I'm feeling guilty or ashamed, his theory is that actually when you eat that food, the food and the residue it leaves behind will store the frequency of that emotion. Because in the cellular energy, in the water, we know water has memory and it could store energy. And so that's his theory, that these toxins and these wastes accumulate in the body, and we continue to feel these emotions and have these stuck points in life where we can't break free of negative belief systems or self-worth, or it seems like we just continue to be in this emotional set point our whole life. And his thing is it's actually physically stored because we ate when we were upset, when we were angry, and so what was left behind in the body kept the energy of that emotion around. And that's why we relive it until we're able to eliminate the actual substance or the waste that came from that food. So it's been really, really interesting to experience that. And then to see Jesus talk about that in the Essene gospel. And it just goes to show these people had such profound knowledge and they knew the inner working of these mechanisms, but at the same time you can encapsulate all these complexities into a very simple natural law and way of living.
Yeah, it's great you said that, because I'd read the Essene gospel before I did my juice, like that three week juice fast, and I had the exact same thing happen where I all amount of nausea, feeling of discomfort, emotional discomfort, craving things I hadn't eaten in years, and then followed by a big elimination through the bowels of God knows what. And then the craving for that thing completely went away, and now it's repulsive. And
Yeah,
since
isn't that
that
crazy?
time, yeah, and since that time, I've had clients experience the same thing. You know, there was one who was experiencing emotions from a breakup about 15 years prior, and the foods that she was eating then, which she hadn't eaten since. And again, it's that example of you reap what you sow. What were you sowing by stagnating your body or suppressing your emotions by eating? And of course, it's an unconscious thing that is unfortunately a direct result of the society we live in. You watch TV shows, they're eating, they're drinking, they're taking drugs, whatever. It's suppress. But it is our responsibility and to have accountability to get ourselves out of that. And let it not discourage the listener that whatever you've done, you are bound to relive it. You are bound to relive it in one way, shape, or form, but it is so worth it, it is not even funny. Far better that you go through that than to keep suppressing and living a dormant, stagnant life. If you feel that's what you need, if you feel that this calls to you, don't let these things hold fast and hold fear in you, because fear is the killer of joy and the killer of love at the end of the day. And that is an overarching theme within the Essene Gospel. There's a part actually in here where a man is complaining about his aches and pains in his body, and Jesus is there to comfort him and to show him that it will pass, that you are experiencing this because of the life you lived before, and you're essentially being born again in the light of God. You're essentially being born again in the light of the earthly mother, and that is a process that takes time. And once you are humbled by that experience, you will come out the other side a completely different person. And it is a rebirth in so many ways, because you are what you eat. Just like Jesus said, if you eat of death, you become death. And we know that if you start thinking negative thoughts and I hate people, I hate this, I hate that, your whole world becomes hateful. People feel it straight away. That person's really negative. This isn't a hard stretch by for people's comprehension. And again, it's these little connections back to, as you said, getting some immense complexities put into words that it can be read in such a short paragraph that directly affirms this. That's the part I had written on the side, the part of emotional eating, like when you're angry, when you're vexed, when you're emotional, like if someone's going through a breakup, they'll just turn to junk food. We're suppressing the emotions. And being someone that has gone through a lot of this, and I see clients go through a lot of this, is we must let ourselves feel it, because your body wants you to feel it, because out of that darkness is light. It's not always going to be nighttime. There's not always going to be cloud cover. There's not always going to be a storm. In Taoism, a storm never outlasts the day. Tenderness is the way. It's that middle ground. There's even a part in the Essene Gospel here about the balance of hot and cold. Don't let your body get too hot. Do not go into extreme cold. Find a balance. And you look at foods like raw foods, they're heated by the sun. In nature, we would pick them and they'd be a little warm. They'd be heated by the sun energy and by the tree itself. And now we have refrigerators and we have freezers and we have frying pans and ovens, where we are doing these extremes of each, where that balance, or what we know in chemistry as homeostasis, in the science we have today, is no longer there. And this is ultimately what it's pointing at, is to bring that homeostasis on every level. And I've never found a piece of writing that has covered every area. There's even recipes in this book of what to do when, you know, the fruits in wintertime, because this was a part of what may be now known as Palestine, which, you know, is quite arid, and they would grow a lot of grapes and figs and dates, but there were times where there wasn't as much available, and to how to preserve things like dehydrating food, sprouting and dehydrating.
Making raw bread. He gives you the recipe for raw
bread,
sprouted wheat, raw bread, or whatever grain. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to just, there's actually a separate section on the killing part, because the part on when to kill, was more specific on if you're in a situation where something there is happening and where that may be necessary. And the reason why I feel, just to cover that again, is because it's been apparent, it's come up for me that it's apparent that Christianity, or an idea of Christianity, should I say, has really taken traction in a lot of celebrity spaces where there's a lot of influence, and they will call themselves a Christian or they'll call themselves something, but then you look at the actions they take, the same way you said before, Chad, that it's become almost superficial. You know, I will say I am this, I will say I am that, but what are my actions actually lining up to? And it brings me back to a guy that did a documentary called Christspiracy, which a lot of people haven't seen because it's not really out yet. I saw it. I got an early screening nearly 2 years ago. I saw this documentary. Never seen it on a streaming site since.
Yeah, I had a follower or someone who watches my YouTube channel recommend that, and that's the first time I had ever heard of it. But yeah, fascinating documentary.
Yeah, and he asked the question, how would Jesus kill an animal? Because his question, he was from birth a Christian, and he couldn't find an answer, and he was desperately wanting to find an answer. And he couldn't, because how could a man of righteousness do that? How could a place of peace have the killing of innocent animals, specifically lambs? You know, it's said now that, you know, the Passover meal was lambs. And yet you look at some of these old paintings, the lambs are friends. They're not being eaten. They are befriended by Jesus and the followers, because there's a gentleness and a connection to the animal kingdom that I know Rudolf Steiner would heavily argue we do not have anymore. But it can be reborn and rekindled, just like a candle that may have been blown out. I think that humanity has many candles on many levels of experience that have been snuffed out, and all we got to do is reignite them. And I think that's when, as humans, we hear those things, they reignite that candle. The same way my mentor, Dr. Moore, says, I'm not teaching you guys anything. I'm just showing you what you already know. Essentially, I'm just going to light that candle for you. And that's why something like the Essene Gospel will ring true for so many people.
Yeah, so many important points there. But I think I really want to highlight just what you touched upon earlier about don't let this discourage you. Mm-hmm. Don't let the life that maybe you lived previously scare you away from really experiencing true, deep, profound healing. And you kind of implied this, but yeah, we are going to experience the natural consequences of our actions, mm-hmm. but we can choose to do that consciously and to go do the work, to do the healing, and to experience those effects in a really acute and profound way, maybe through an extended fast or a juice fast. But if we ignore it, those things are still with us. And the pain may be not be as sharp, but rather than experiencing it acutely over the period of a couple days, if we're doing a fast, it's going to stay with us, and we're going to experience it at a low grade kind of for the rest of our life. And I think it really makes it difficult to change at a deep level if we're carrying these stuck emotions in the body and things of that nature. So things like fasting are so powerful because those things come up in a really, really sharp, powerful way for us to heal so they can be seen and felt and acknowledged. So I just think that's an important point to really reiterate, is the transformation that's possible when we commit to this path and when we allow ourselves to go deep within ourselves. It's like you said, you won't even recognize yourselves because thoughts and feelings and wounds and vices and old habits, they just disappear into the wind. And you talked about it as a sort of rebirth, because you really are. It is the process of becoming a new person, reinventing yourself from the inside out, shedding these old layers. And a lot of people would say this is the real inner meaning of the resurrection that is discussed in Christianity, that the resurrection really is this rebirth of the self. It is the birth of Christ from within all of us as we remember who we really are and what we came here to do. And it's the inner illumination that takes root as we remember ourselves as these divine beings and go out into the earth and live that way and embody this new way of being, not just for ourselves and our own benefit, but for all of humanity and the people around us. And so this is what's possible for every human being, is this level of greatness, illumination, enlightenment. And all that's really being asked is that we have the courage to go within ourselves. So what a joy, what a pleasure, what an honor to be able to do that in this lifetime. And I think maybe this would be an appropriate point to kind of wrap up with this takeaway message. So do you have any final topics you want to touch upon, or any wrap-up messages for the audience?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly, Chad, and I really encourage people to get the Essene Gospel, because obviously there's far more in it that we didn't cover, and perhaps in later episodes we could just get into some nitty-gritty aspects of it. We just really wanted to show you some of the main aspects out of the scripture. But there's one in there that Chad just described, and that is that it's a beautiful honor. It's a beautiful privilege to have, you know, the fact that we have a world that that we have the ability to undo things that we've done to our bodies that have defiled our bodies, that we have the ability to do that at any point. And there's no need to think that it's too late, or that you can't turn your ship in another direction. You know, you could view your body as a sailing vessel, and that you will have waves hit you. You may, you know, come across pirates who will ransack your vessel and steal things from you, but you can always repair. And the greater difference is that we aren't a boat, but we, a vehicle and a boat and a vessel. It's interesting that often the human body is described as a vessel. And that's why the analogy of these works so well, because as we know, if something happens, there could be calamity of all sorts, but you can rebuild, and something new and beautiful will come out of that. And the resolution that comes out of that to the from when you heal the physical body, which ultimately fills the emotional, as we touched on when it comes to detoxification of waste and emotions with emotional eating, is though that may be hard and challenging, once you experience it, you are so thankful that happened, because you are forever free from that afterwards. Because before that point, before the experience of that, it was actually always there in some degree, holding you back, holding your true essence and expression of who you are back from really what nature or the Mother Nature wants the best for you. Mother Nature wants you to succeed and to thrive, not just survive, but thrive. And to picture a world of how even some of the Essene groups supposedly lived was that they would spend their days growing foods and having an abundance of herbs and fruits, and would share this abundance with the poor, would share this abundance with those that were sick, and they would take the sick and maimed under their wing and nourish them and give them a home, give them shelter, give them purpose. And that really being the overarching outcome of this rebirth, is not just to do this for some vanity reason, but ultimately that on every level, humanity can find a peace and a contentment that I think we once had that we've lost immensely. And that is why people get such purpose in community, where they go and do something for others. Even at the place I'm living, there's a form of yoga called Bhakti Yoga, which literally means yoga of service, that you were doing something for someone else. And the Essenes were essentially doing that. They didn't have ownership of things. They didn't own land. They were there working with the land, and any abundance they had, they gave and shared to heal, to help humanity, which healed themselves. And I think is a great way to end, because once you get through those trials, through those hardships of moving through the detoxification, or moving through letting go of something that is challenging, it's like a breakup. It can be so painful during that period, but then once it's over, there's this wave and this ever presence of peace that you will find, that people that have gone through things like this, that have gone through losing a loved one, losing someone in their life, losing maybe something in their career, that something new is born from that. And that is really what the Essenes were doing. And that's why I love to look at them and I follow Jesus in that sense. That to me is a real an honorable thing to strive for, and to really reach for in a world that is desperately trying to pull us in the other. And I don't feel there's been a more important time of sharing this message, because it is multifaceted, like we've discussed. It obviously involves what we eat. It obviously involves how we are and how we govern ourselves. But it also involves areas beyond that that can only be experienced once we make those changes. And I encourage anyone listening, if you're someone that eats a lot of cooked food, just begin by perhaps starting your morning by having nothing and eating a bit later, or if you do decide to have something in the morning, to have a simple fruit meal and just observe what that experience is like as an incremental change in the growth of who you are, and to embrace it as a journey and not as a quick fix, and also not as a way to rush the process. But I did want to reiterate as well that how much compassion nature clearly has for humanity, that, you know, even with my clients, I can see people that have been in their 50s, 60s, 70s, some of the best testimonials I've had have been from elderly people. Within a few months, they are a completely different person. Who they can think better, they can walk around without pain in their joints, and yet they're 73, 75. And how fast of a turnaround that is. And it didn't happen in a week, didn't happen in a month, maybe it was 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, maybe in some cases for some people, 2 years. But when you look at the bigger picture, isn't that a beautiful thing? As you said, Chad, that it is such an honor to have a natural world that clearly cares for us. If it didn't, we wouldn't see those outcomes. We wouldn't see those things happen. The same way both myself and Chad have covered in our previous episodes, struggles we had before we found this path, mine being with teeth, Chad's being with regrowing bone in his jaw, you know, all on adhering to these laws, adhering to what Jesus has spoken about. And that, again, is pointing towards a world that most people are unaware of. And it's my hope in this episode that we've brought awareness to a world that is always there, a supporting nature system that is always there to help you. Yeah, that'll be my final words, Chad.
So well put. And something you said that really stood out is that nature wants you to succeed. Nature wants all of us to succeed. And I really want people to get this, that there is no remorse or regret for our mistakes. That these mistakes they're an integral part of our journey and our story. And to be honest, without these mistakes, there would really be no game. And so embrace it, embrace the journey. The universe is really, it's rigged in your favor. You can't fail. The chessboard is set up for you to succeed. And I really do believe that we choose all of this, that we choose our adventure before we come here. And we get the pleasure of kind of working ourselves out of it, figuring out the puzzle, enjoying the challenge, because what else is there to do but explore ourselves and explore this amazing universe that we live in. So I agree with you. I really believe that there is no more important time than now to bring this knowledge back and to make it readily accessible for everyone, that we are really the ones who get to carry that torch forward and bring this knowledge to humanity again for people to use. So I hope you as a listener got something out of this conversation, and more than anything, that you would take this knowledge and that it wouldn't be some ephemeral thing, but that you'd actually be able to apply it in your life and make good use out of it, and just try out some of the things that are spoken about in this gospel and check it out for yourself. See if it aligns with your truth, with your experience, and just live it and let your own inner compass be your guide. So with that, I can say I really enjoyed our conversation today.
Yeah, me too, Chad. And it's sick. It's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Awesome. Well, I think to end, if people can get themselves a copy, there's also a free copy as well. This is the Essene Gospel is a free PDF online. You don't have to buy the book. You can even look up some of the quotes from the book. I also have a lecture that I did at the community that's on my YouTube and podcast where I go in depth reading quotes from the Essene Gospel and connecting it with other sources of raw food people, whether it be pre-Greeks of modern thought, meaning the philosophers of our modern time like Socrates, Plato and Aristotle, that they themselves had spoken about other people that lived this way, that it's not just isolated in this book. This isn't just an isolated account of, hey, what happens when we stop cooking our food or when we go down this road and when we let go of certain things that hold us back, what then is born out of that? And so, yeah, perhaps if people are interested, go and check out that episode too and have a read. It's only about 35 to 40 pages, the Essene Gospel Book 1. For my upload of this, I will put that in the description because there is far more. But just know it's towards the end, there's even a part here that I have in front of me about the importance of moving your body with the elements, being outside in nature, seeing that water has a role, the tree has a role, you have a role, and that you are an integral part of that. And to look at a world now that is so fixated in modern technology where we are sitting in rooms 24/7, we aren't connected with nature, that alone is a law that has been forgotten, that we need to be very careful not to throw that away, for the natural world, as we know, is being heavily abused, but it will bounce back, and humanity is going through an insane shift that people are so desperate to have those candles within them relit, and a lot of the people are doing it on their own. And it's if you're listening to this episode, there's a reason why you were put here, and there'll be plenty more episodes with myself and Chad to come. And thank you all so much for listening. Go check out Chad's channel. That's in the description. My channel's in the description for my YouTube, social media. And once again, Chad, thank you so much. And to all the listeners, we really appreciate your support and tuning in for episodes like this. It means so much to me. And thank you very much. And I look forward to the next episode.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. Take care and we'll see you soon.